Welcome to Doctrine and Doxology, a podcast series designed to help our Christian beliefs lead to Christian worship. We hope you will grow in the knowledge of the Christian faith and, in turn, will worship and glorify God. Thanks for joining us as we go from understanding to worship. We are back. Welcome back to a new episode, a new recording of Doctrine and Doxology.
And there's snow on the ground outside. I'm just saying, I love snow.
I'm excited about snow. Yeah, there is. So I actually read a piece of a news article today that said two-thirds of the country has snow this morning, population-wise, 200 million people.
A lot of people are without power. So praise God for power.
Yes. So here in Oklahoma, western Oklahoma, our little neighborhood is sitting in about 6 inches of snow, plus or minus.
Yep.
At my house, it was closer to 8.
That's because you didn't scoop it off last time.
Correct. So two winter storms have come through and pummeled our community. But yeah, it's far worse in other places that are less prepared.
I'm sure many people listening say, you think you got a bad big boy. You should see my front yard.
True. So there's other parts of the country that have it way, way worse, especially the further north you go with the colder air.
Yeah.
We are in like negative 30 wind chill. Not today, but we were previously.
Yeah, I went out today and did a little scooping.
Scooping of the snow.
Scooping of the snow. The tradition I try to not have.
You're right.
And, yeah, I had too much clothes on. I started sweating.
I did, too. I did that earlier today as well during lunch. But really, 200 million people in the United States is a lot of people. It is two-thirds of the country that are living in, walking in, driving in snow today. So
right.
Big, major storm that came through. And so far, I think we're weathering it all right. Some have died. That's sad.
That's bad, yeah.
Even in Oklahoma, there are car wrecks, but some read of a homeless man in Tulsa that passed away.
Yeah. Every very time sad. It's really brittle cold, like it was a couple nights ago, minus 11 or whatever your bottom number was.
Yeah.
That's just too cold to not have a home.
It's dangerous, and I've been thankful to
should,
see.
It should make us pray for those who don't have it as good as we do.
Yeah. I've been thankful to see many churches in areas like that step up and open their facilities and provide meals and so on and so forth. Our community hasn't suffered that way, so I am thankful for that. Anyways, on to better news, lighter news.
Do we have any sponsors today, or are we sponsorless today?
Well, we are yes and no. I mean, technically, we're carrying over a little bit from Three Chords in the Truth, the Apologetics podcast. Because our winners have been announced this week.
Oh, they have?
Yes. So the two books that were up for grabs have actually been grabbed. They are going out into the mail. Our winners are two ladies from the same town. Can you believe that?
I think this election was rigged.
Yeah. It's because the mail-in votes. Anyways, it was Amanda and Heather.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I don't know how they are deciding who gets what book. That's Madison's deal. But they won.
And well, I know a Heather that's actually a friend of Madison. Is this the same?
It's the same Heather, yeah. Talk about rigged.
Come on.
Anyways, she's getting a book from Dr. Timothy Paul Jones, as is Amanda, and they are different books. And anyways, thank you, Dr. Jones, for providing those.
Sure.
And we know that those two
I
people
hope they,
will benefit.
Really bless their lives.
Absolutely. You know? I think they will. If they will dive in, I think they'll be thankful for it.
Yeah.
So, speaking of listeners.
Do we have a listener-submitted question?
We do, and you have it written down somewhere. So we're in trouble.
Yeah, I do. Would you talk for about 3 minutes?
I've got it on my phone. I'm pulling it up because you sent it to me in a text today. Here it is. It's a two-parter. But really, it's the same subject.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Do women have to be silent in church? Would that extend to Bible studies?
Oh, my goodness. Could they not even sing?
Gender. Yeah. No screaming, no yelling, no singing.
Can they tell their children to be still?
No. Next.
Okay.
It's a gender question, just like last week.
Can they pass notes?
Yes.
Okay.
But not in our church. Last week.
They're probably glued to, with all attention to the speaker, don't you think?
I hope, yeah. Hope we all are. Anyways, last week was a gender issue, 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yeah, a hair thing.
Yeah, long hair for men, head coverings for women. Anyways, we are continuing that theme. I think this question comes out of a passage from 1 Corinthians 14, because that's the passage where the language is used. And it's a question about women's roles, ultimately.
Yeah, it seemed like 14 is a big question on a good orderly service.
Yes, so Paul is addressing that because he said there's problems there in the Corinthian church about orderly church gatherings.
Right.
It's kind of a free-for-all. They're disregarding the Lord's Supper. They're disregarding orderly worship. It's just kind of chaotic.
They have a lot of people speaking in tongues at the same time.
Yes, and that's probably leading to more fits of disunity and fractures and I follow Paul, I follow Paulus, let's just get here and chaotic argue kind of stuff. So that's part of Paul's solution to their problems as a church is to write about orderly worship and even really orderly church government. It's kind of implied in here. Maybe we should read the passage.
I think that would be a good idea.
It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and the specific text that references women and being silent is from the second half of verse 33 on through verse 35. So I'll just read that text, and then we might summarize the actual chapter.
Okay.
So he says, Paul says, as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches. For they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there's anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Two disclaimers real quick that pop into my mind immediately.
Okay.
Number one, it's a super sensitive issue. And maybe
yes, it is.
Maybe we want to revisit that.
Yeah, I think we should.
But number two, if you take the passage, just those verses, it seems like a difficult text. But when you put it into context of the whole passage, I don't think it's as strange or striking as when we just sit here and read it like that.
I agree.
So you agreed with the sensitive issue part. What's your take on that?
Well, we're in a different society today where we have a lot of women who are very valuable and very important in the church, and some of them may want to have a more vocal role in the services. We know that many churches throughout the land now have women pastors. We know also that many churches in the land have even homosexual pastors.
Yes. There's a
lot of churches, in all truth, are not following Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it behooves us.
There it is.
That big word again, to be obedient to Christ. He is the head.
Yes.
So we, even though things may seem harsh, is still God's plan in His order.
Right. These difficult texts, there's still an element there where we need to trust that God is good, and though it may be hard for us to comprehend or practice or whatever, it's still the best plan that there is.
And He is sovereign. He gets to make the decision on this one.
Absolutely. So this raises up questions in people's mind really about superiority and inferior feelings between men and women.
But that shouldn't be the case.
Well, that's definitely not.
I think it's different roles.
Yeah, the Scripture never paints them one as superior, one as an inferior.
Absolutely not.
In fact, in Colossians, Paul says male and female were all in Christ.
That's right.
And it was in the 1 Corinthians 11 passage. Women submit to men, but men come from women. We're interdependent upon each other. We're all created in the image of God, Genesis 2.
Right.
Loved by God,
saved by Christ, used of God for certain ministry purposes and tasks to advance the gospel and his kingdom. So it's not an issue of inferiority or superiority between the genders. But that's how, and as you said, in our particular context in society, it's often taken.
Right.
And I think that stems from real and honest injustices that happened between the genders in generations past.
Absolutely. Even the right to vote. I mean, you keep going back, and women were really not considered on the same level with men.
Right. And that's not God's intention.
That's offensive to half the population.
Well, yeah. And that's not God's intention. That's not God's design. That's not God's purpose. But the answer also isn't swinging to the other end of the pendulum and disregarding God's plan.
Or his word.
Or his word. So we hold to a complementarian view where we say that the male and female genders have different roles, but they are complementary roles. They go together to serve the singular purpose of glorifying God.
I'm glad you explained that. I was trying to work that word out in my mind.
Even if you haven't heard that word, that's where you land, right? I mean,
well, you as say, you explained it, yeah.
Would say we have different roles, but those roles complement each other to serve the singular function of glorifying God.
That just almost mirrors some of the other, when it talks about gifts in the church. Each person has a different gift and a different calling.
Yeah.
And all these are for one purpose, to edify the body.
Right. So we have sisters out there who are very sensitive to this subject. Usually it's because of some bad experience in their past.
Right.
And so I think we want to tread lightly there and cautiously and gently.
Yeah, sometimes you may have a pastor that's very dominating.
Right.
And doesn't treat all people with respect.
Right.
Especially maybe women. You read a verse to me a while ago before we actually started. Do you remember where that's at?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite passages that's not quoted as often.
I think
it's
important.
Yeah. This passage is a passage for pastors that I don't think is quoted enough, in my personal opinion. It's from Peter's first letter, 1 Peter chapter 5. He's writing about the character and the attitude of pastors. He says, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock."
Yeah, so a lot of love should be exercised by each pastor, because he's given a charge.
Yeah.
And he's also going to be held responsible for his charge.
And so he's majorly in the wrong if he's domineering over women, over anybody, in kind of a violent, controlling manner. And I told you before we hit the record button that if a woman is in that kind of a situation in a church like that,
yep,
I'd tell her to leave. I'd say flee from that kind of leadership, flee from that pastor, and go to a church where you're not being domineered over and belittled and disregarded.
But with the criteria that it is a godly church.
Right, absolutely.
One that follows God's word and that Christ is truly the head.
I hope that goes without saying, yeah. But you're right, absolutely.
Yeah, I think sometimes in some of those situations you may have a pastor that has forgot that Christ is the head, not him.
Right. And that male and female, each person is equally a sheep in the fold of God,
right,
worthy to be shepherded because Christ has deemed them such.
And we know from the bottom of our hearts that usually women are the more sensitive to spiritual things than men are.
Yes.
You paused a long time before that yes came out.
That goes without saying.
I didn't want to force that arm behind your back, you know, to get you to say it.
I see my wife to be much more perceptive than me. I think... as a pastor, God has graciously gifted me in certain ways that probably otherwise wouldn't exist if I weren't pastoring, certain degrees of patience and compassion that are just required for the job, frankly. But my wife still has a certain sense of perceptibility
Correct.
That's beyond me.
And we do look in some of the smaller town churches, maybe even bigger town churches. You'll see a large number of women serving in the church and just a handful of men.
Yeah.
And truthfully, sad. In those situations where I've been personally seen it, where I have personally seen it, I see women who are very godly women, but their husbands, they're not following God. They're not walking in obedience to God. Right. So
they too often have to go to church alone.
They do,
or take
yes.
their kids alone or raise their kids in the faith alone.
Right, right.
That's a whole nother story.
I know.
So let's come back to the passage here. What exactly is the text saying? I mean, it's a universal text. Paul says, as in all the churches of the saints, this should be true for everywhere.
Right.
And then he says, black and white, women should keep silent in the churches. And paraphrasing,
the whole chapter
in
1 Corinthians
14
here
is actually what is
dealing with
saying? Back to our listener
the order of service.
Should
correct.
Should
and not necessarily like
the churches, and does that extend
steps
to the order of service?
Bible
but
studies.
Bible studies,
how
but
a church
it's
is
in
other
an orderly
area.
Manner.
Yes, and how the church is
well, I
to
think it's in response probably
be instructed
to an
issue and taught
in that local
in,
church.
Mm-hmm, it's gathered
were,
times.
Sure, there can be so much going on that
hullabaloo.
We haven't been allowed.
That's another
to
big
see.
Word.
It's not even
yeah.
going on.
You've been saving that.
It distracts.
One.
There may have been
from the true reason we're here.
Right,
we're here to worship God.
Conversations
and
going
to
on.
Proclaim His word and to hear His word preached.
And an important principle to that is that we don't get to decide how to worship God. He's told us how to worship Him.
Correct. Correct.
And so it's not up to experiment. We ought to be following the scriptures and submitting, as you said earlier, to Christ as our head. The first part of this chapter is talking about spiritual gifts, specifically the gifts of prophecy
right.
and instructing the church. And that's where the passage comes in today, where we find the question from this text. It's about certain individuals speaking to instruct the church. He's calling them prophets here, and they should be submissive to one another and things of that nature. So long story short, I think he's saying women shouldn't be up instructing the whole church.
Yeah, I think we see that in your First Timothy and
mm-hmm.
Titus.
Mm-hmm.
We see directions of this is what an overseer or an elder should be.
Mm-hmm.
And in both situations, there's no option but to say, yes, it is a man. It is a male.
Right, right. So we were talking about this earlier. That doesn't mean a woman is inferior to a man.
Not at all.
That means their roles are different.
Right.
And I liken it to the fact that just because I can't give birth to a child doesn't mean I'm an inferior parent. I'm just a different parent. I have a different role in the
task.
You
have a different role. And you got to admit, though, the role of the woman is much more than the role of the man.
Well,
at least in the beginning.
It's an imperfect illustration, I get
it. In the beginning.
I'm just trying to highlight the distinctions here. That
correct.
Differences in roles doesn't equate to differences in equality.
Correct. That's correct.
And so, by God's design, he doesn't say it here, but Paul does say it in 1 Timothy, that women aren't to teach or exercise authority or instruct, and he ties it right back to creation because of Adam and Eve and their created order and what happened in the fall and things like that. And God has just designed it for men, especially in the church, to carry the leadership burden and exercise the oversight, as you said, the instruction,
right.
the teaching. So my answer to the question is this. No, I don't think it means women have to be silent in the sense that they can never speak in church. I think it means women shouldn't be up trying to instruct the whole gathering of the church.
Because you'd have a choir up there with no altos and no sopranos.
Sure. So can a woman speak in a Bible study? I think absolutely.
Sure.
And the ladies here at our church contribute wonderfully.
You know, sometimes, as we mentioned earlier, women have a greater insight in some issues than men do. Our brains, honestly, are clouded sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that we have both men and women who can participate in Bible studies and make them rich.
Yeah.
I think our Bible studies need to be deep in theology and
well,
rich.
As we were talking earlier, again, before we started recording, You have a list that you've compiled of women in the New Testament or in the scriptures that played important roles. And I was even thinking of Lydia, the first convert in Macedonia where the church met in her home. Priscilla, who was majorly involved in church planting.
Sure.
We talk about the women at the time of Jesus' ministry. They were mightily involved in serving and carrying out. And there are churches that we are like-minded with, though we don't and haven't traditionally practiced it this way. There are churches who have women deacons. And we would partner with them in a heartbeat because they're solid and faithful and biblical. And so this isn't saying, this text isn't saying, and other texts like it aren't saying that women can't serve in the church, contribute to the church, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they're invaluable.
Yeah, right. Contrary to that, God gives us great examples of women contributing mightily to the advancement of the kingdom, and they should continue to do that.
A lot of strong women in the Old Testament as well. There's one that was even a judge.
Yeah. Deborah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. Absolutely. So to our sisters out there, I would say don't...
Thank you.
Yeah, well, and don't let this passage discourage you from serving in the body. We're all a part of the body. Paul just said that in chapter 12 of this letter, and we all contribute to the health of the body and the glorification of Christ. I think he's just highlighting here, your role is different when it comes to the leadership of the church, the governing of the church.
And the service of it, that, and the actual worship service.
Yeah, yeah. But, man, there are ample other ways that women have contributed and should contribute and do contribute, and many churches, in fact, I would say all churches out there wouldn't function without our sisters in Christ stepping up. So
many would fail.
Absolutely. So we see, like our passage last week, 1 Corinthians 11, we see other passages where women are said to be prophesying or serving or working. And again, I think that helps us give understanding to this text. We're talking when the church gathers together as a whole. Paul's laying out here what should and shouldn't be done.
Sure.
So I know there's a lot more we could say about the subject because, as you said earlier, it is complex. It is sensitive. But that's kind of all I have to say about it, I guess.
Okay. Then I shall pray.
Okay.
All right. Father, we are grateful because you're sovereign. You are our Savior, our God, our Lord. Help us, Lord, to always follow your word, not add to or take away from, but walk in obedience to it. Help us to live for you daily. Thank you for your blessings that we can't even number. And thank you for your great unending love that reached down and saved our souls. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Help us to share that free gift with the world in need. Guide us, direct our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Mm-hmm.